and thank you for tuning into the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peak, and we are finishing up July of 2023, with it being extremely hot. It's been hot for a while, that, and we've been getting some crazy amount of rain. I don't know what's going on right now. I guess the whole summer just waited for this month to hammer down on us. Matter of fact, we got our most expensive light bill to date. Our power bill came in the mail yesterday, and it was $370. $370. I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot. Other than us sleeping, we haven't been in the house much. $370 is a lot. But I'm sure that everybody else out there is dealing with the same shock and awe of their cost of living going up and their wages not really going up. So, yeah. There's a interesting rabbit hole that you can go down if you start looking into this on various forms of social media that will make you crazy. And some people say it wakes you up. Some people say it gets your attention because it's really happening and we should be doing something. And I am not in disagreement. But also, it's just exhausting. Like, everything is just so exhausting. So anyway, moving forward, let's talk about some cool things, okay? This is Stuff I Heard, by the way. there has been some news this week. A local vodka company, Sweetgrass Vodka, was purchased this week, or partially purchased, I don't exactly know the right term for it, by actor Jeremy Renner. Now, you guys know Jeremy Renner is playing Hawkeye on the X-Men stuff, and the Avengers. He's been in various Avengers movies, and he even had his own little show on Disney Plus, excuse me. I'm having a brain fart this morning. I need some caffeine. My coffee hasn't quite kicked in. All right, everybody, if you got coffee, take you a sip. Okay, back. Reset. Okay, so his Disney show is really great. Some of his best acting, I think, aside from just the moments he's on screen in the Avengers stuff, the things he says, is really fantastic. He's like, none of this makes any sense. There's gods out here. I'm a guy with a bow and arrow. This doesn't make any sense. I shouldn't even be here. But I like his character. I like him. I've liked him in various things he's been in. One of the things that people overlook is his kind of funny movie he did with some other fellow actors called Tag, where basically these grown men just never stopped playing tag their entire life. And it's hilarious. And of course, who can forget him as the one person who stepped in Matt Damon's role of being the super action star? God, what was that called? You know what? My caffeine has not let my brain do any of the talking, so let's just Google it. Jason Bourne. Yeah. He played Jason Bourne the one time that Matt Damon didn't play it. It was fantastic. I don't know why. Oh, here's the thing. I'm just talking about it, and it says why Matt Damon was replaced in Jason Bourne. Said he decided to leave the franchise after making the third movie, The Bourne Ultimatum. And then it was decided that he wanted to leave the franchise because Paul Greengrass had decided to step down as director of the movie. So yeah, that was the one time that Jeremy Renner got to play Jason Bourne, or a Bourne type character. Great movie, great acting. I liked him in The Town. I liked him with Ben Affleck when they're sitting around, and Ben's girlfriend in the show has been assaulted or whatever, and he knows who it is, and he comes to him, and I guess they're like family or best friends or something. He comes in and he tells him, he says, hey, he says, I need you to come with me. You know, you can't ask any questions. We're going to hurt somebody. And Jeremy Renner looks at him. He goes, Whose car are we taking? That's all he asks. Whose car are we taking? And I thought that was a great role. But I thought, you know, I like him. he got into a really bad accident trying to help someone with his snowplow. Somehow he fell off the snowplow, or it got away from him, or anyway, it ran over him and he ended up breaking like 30 bones and he almost died. And now he's not. Now he's okay. Now he's doing good. And so if I Google Jeremy Renner buys Sweetgrass Vodka, which Sweetgrass Vodka is made here locally in South Carolina in Charleston. If I Google it, some of the sources say he's bought into the company. Some of the sources say he's the new owner. Some of the sources say he's partnered with. I don't exactly know the level of ownership that he has, but I looked on a bunch of websites trying to get the information, and I still don't know. Now, I have a friend that I went to high school with who was one of the co-creators of Sweetgrass Vodka, co-owners, I guess you'd say, Victor Webster. Victor's actually been on the podcast, episode 294, and I will tag that in the descriptor below or in the notes if you're listening, and or if you want to just find it, episode 294. So the story of Sweetgrass is interesting. And Jeremy says in an interview with People Magazine, he said, "I'm so grateful for the progress that I've made this year, which has allowed me to move forward with my interest in Sweetgrass Vodka." The actor writes on his post, "Their mission is rooted in community and shared experience, which is why the second I heard it, I knew I wanted to become a part of it." So what is their mission? What is their story? Their story is what got me involved. The story of them, basically, and Victor explains this on the podcast, he says that him and some friends were talking about starting their own vodka company because they liked to drink, they liked the area, they liked the certain flair that the South has to it. And, you know, why don't we go into a venture that sort of leans itself towards celebrating some of the things that are here in the South and allowing some locals here to get involved in this opportunity to grow a business. And, you know, it seemed like a opportune moment to start a vodka company. So they started a vodka company. And in the process, while they were creating this vodka, they thought, man, this is going to be great. We could go around and we could sell it locally, and maybe we could branch out because we know some people, and it's always good to know people because sometimes you have friends that have liquor distributorships, or sometimes you have friends that are partnered in other states that are also doing the same thing you're doing, and you're like, hey, maybe I could talk to you to figure out how to get in your state and that sort of thing. So it was just a good idea. But the moment they went to put out their new product, the world had a pandemic, and suddenly the world didn't need vodka. They needed answers. They needed solutions. They needed help. A lot of the local fire and rescue and hospitals were running out of hand sanitizer, and there was a big push for people to want hand sanitizer. And so they started looking at their production line, and they were like, you know, what we make is not that different than hand sanitizer. We can convert our line over and just make hand sanitizer instead of, you know, drinking alcohol. So they did that, and they realized that, oh, you know, there's a lot of people in need and we have the means to help people. Let's just give away as much as we can afford to do, to try to help as many people as possible, because this problem is bigger than us and we're in a unique situation to help people. So they did. And you could say it's because they're Southern. You could say it's because they're from Charleston. You could say it's because it's just the humane thing to do, the right thing to do. But they could have made a choice and said, nah, people are drinking, man. It's a good time to make alcohol. Let's just make alcohol and they'll buy it. And yeah, profits, baby. Let's just go for profits. And they didn't go for profits. They went for, let's try to help people. And, you know, Victor told me they all lost millions of dollars. Trying to just help people, just to do the right thing. And luckily, we got through the other side of the pandemic and they were able to start selling vodka. And I told them, I said, more than anything, you need to get people to hear your story. You need to get people to hear why they should even try your product. Because, I mean, vodka tastes generally like vodka. I've never had one vodka and went, that's better than that one. Although I'm not really a vodka drinker. I'm a beer drinker. But I thought, your first step of any venture whenever you're coming out with a new product is, how do I get you to try my product? So here's an idea. Community, okay? That's the thing I talk about on this podcast, is the thing I try to promote. How do you use community to help yourself? How do you use community to help other people? How can your community help each other? I know Victor. I grew up with Victor. He's a good guy. He's come up with an idea for a product and during a time of crisis decided not to make a dollar, but instead tried to help people. That story needs to be the story that then persuades the purchaser to go, you know what? That was cool. Let me support them and let me buy a bottle, or let me buy two. And maybe I like it. Maybe now that's my preferred vodka. Maybe now that'll be the thing that I like. If I try it, maybe I'll go, you know what? I'd rather support him than some company of people that I don't know. You know, if you're going to support community and talk about local community and support local and that sort of thing, here's a great opportunity with a great product who quite simply is killing it. They've entered a bunch of competitions and they've won awards for being outstanding, and they're local and they're good guys and they're trying to do the right thing for the right reason. And if you have the opportunity, go try some Sweetgrass vodka. And if you see Victor, if you see any of the guys that are in the ownership of this wonderful venture, let them know, hey, you guys did the right thing. Thank you. I want to show you support, and I want to make you my provider for my vodka here locally. And who knows, maybe you share it with a friend and they go, hey, where do I get some of this? And that's how it works. So I'm glad that Jeremy Renner is involved. It does bring a bigger spotlight to a smaller company, in my opinion, where it needs to be. So maybe they all get a little more notoriety and they make some of their money back that they've invested and lost. And, you know, maybe it becomes the new thing. And maybe it becomes the preferred brand that people say. Because, I mean, you know, brand loyalty is sometimes earned. But you don't get that brand loyalty until someone tries it and likes it. And if they don't like it, then your product is going to speak for itself. Or sometimes your branding speaks for itself. The decisions you make as a company speaks for itself. The decisions they've made seems pretty great. Apparently their product is really good because they're winning awards for taste and flavor and craftsmanship and all that stuff. So go try some Sweetgrass vodka. That's all I'm saying. I got a bottle in the other room, but just saying, got to hear for when friends come over. And if you want to listen to Victor's podcast, it's episode 294. Yeah. All right. Now let me switch gears and also talk about another good company. I know this is going to sound like a weird commercially kind of thing, but I want to promote people who are doing good things. Now, as many of you know, I own a grill from a company called Grilla Grills. G-R-I-L-L-A, Grilla, okay? Now, I don't know where they're at. Let's see. They've got a website. They've got About Us and stuff like that. There's a click on here thing for Canada. There's a thing for Wisconsin. I know they're originally, when I looked them up and when I bought mine, we're in Wisconsin or Minnesota or something like that. It was a cold state. And they made these grills special with double-walled insulation within the cooking part of the barrel because they were looking at how do we control the temperature inside that burn that's not going to be so shocking to the outside temperatures. And they had the idea of, oh, if we put metal on the inside as an extra layer, then the heat's going to stay inside this layer, and the cold from the outside is going to touch the outside layer, and that'll protect the temperature that you're maintaining and also make it to where you have a consistent cook and you're going to use less pellets and it's going to be cleaner burning and it's going to be that much better. And I thought, you know, with attention to detail like that, that's the brand that I want. And so I was looking at one online, and I was eyeballing it. It was around the same price as everybody else, you know, all the big ones, Traeger and Rectech and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, I like this one, and I think this is the one I want to buy. But man, that's a lot of money to spend. And I think at the time it was around $800, and I was like, oh, I don't know, man, that's a lot for a grill. This is back when I couldn't spend $800 for a grill. And then one Labor Day, I don't know, it's kind of weird, they dropped the price, $200. It was $600, and I was like, ooh, hey, honey, and I'm elbowing my wife, honey, look, they got the price down. They marked it down $200. I want to buy it. And she was like, okay. So we bought it, got it to the house, put it together. Right off the bat, when they sent it, I got everything except for the cabinet that goes on the bottom. And I reached out to their customer service, and this guy answered the phone. I was surprised someone actually answered the phone. He's like, hey, this is Dave, Grilla Grills, or whatever his name was. And I was like, hey, I got my my grill in the mail, but I don't have the cabinet that goes on the bottom. And he was like, really? And I was like, yeah, matter of fact, I'm a YouTuber, and I made a video of unboxing this, and I can send it to you, but I didn't get it. And he was like, oh, I am so sorry. He goes, let me look at this thing. And okay, yeah. He's like, all right, listen, I'll send this to you right now. I'm so sorry. It'll be overnighted to you. And I said, no, don't overnight it. At the time, we were having a hurricane. I said, we're having a hurricane right now, and even if you overnight it, it's going to take days. I said, just put it in the mail, and it'll be here in a couple of days or a week or however long it takes for the mail to get through once the hurricane finishes. I said, I was putting it together today just because I'm not working because of the hurricane. And he was like, oh, okay. So it came in the mail. I was able to put everything together following their video. It was really great. I enjoyed cooking on it for quite a while. It didn't take long before my wife was convinced that we'd made a right decision. She was like, oh, baby, this is good money spent. And soon I became one of those people that people would request, hey, if we come over, can Josh grill this? Can he do that? And it all came from my buddy Greg. Greg had a pellet grill early on and was cooking things on it and inspired me to buy one. I didn't buy the same brand, but that's fine, you know, whatever. The idea of the pellet grill is similar no matter what. Here's what I liked was the customer service element. Now, not only did they help me day one with getting my cabinet in the mail on time and, you know, all of that stuff, even though they realized they, you know, made a mistake and didn't ship it. That was good. But then I had problems later on with my auger and called their customer service, and they walked me through all the steps to problem solve, figuring out what was going on with my auger to help me fix it. And then I had an issue with something else. What was it? Oh, they updated to a Wi-Fi board. So technology advanced over time, and I'd had this grill for a while. A lot of people call it the OG grill because it was the first one that they came out with. And it's called the Silverback without the K. S-I-L-V-E-R-B-A-C. And go along with the gorilla theme, right? Silverback gorilla. So I had this Silverback, and they were updating technology to where all the pellet grills coming out had Wi-Fi boards. And you think to yourself, why would I need a Wi-Fi board? Well, it is kind of cool to turn it on when it's really cold outside or raining, or it's super hot and you don't want to go out there and sweat just to turn it on. You could just hit the button and turn it on. And then let's say you're doing a really long cook, one of those cooks that takes hours. I'm talking 4 to 6 hours or 10 hours or 13 hours. You can make sure you got plenty of pellets. And if you need to go run errands, you can monitor it with your phone to see what your temperatures are. You have a probe that's attached to it. You can see how your grill is going, how the meat is going. And if you need to adjust it up or down or turn it off, you can. And so that's super helpful. But also, it was just a new doodad. And I thought, I want a new doodad. So, you know, just to be with the cool kids, I ordered it. And it was one of those pre-sale things where they released it early. And I want to say they said that once they were up and running, they didn't want to sell the new grills with the Wi-Fi boards yet. Not until they allowed people who had the OG ones to get the Wi-Fi capability with the new board. And when I say board, I mean like a circuit board. So I was able to sign up, you know, pre-order a board, and it took a while for them to actually have it available. But once they had it available, they actually sold it to me for like half of what it really costs. I got it in the mail and followed the step-by-step video of how to put it into the new grill. And it was actually just a plug-and-play type scenario of you hook this up, unhook that, there you go. Poke all the wires back in and rock and roll, baby. And that's pretty much what happened. I did realize while doing it that I needed to zip tie my wires together and push them out of the way so they didn't interrupt the fan that's attached to the auger. Because when I first put them in, it was going, bep, 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 and I realized it was touching the wire. I was like, oh no. So anyway, but I did have something to come up when I was hooking it up that I needed to call their customer service, and they helped me again. And then during the process of putting that board in, I realized that my cabinets had a little bit of rust on them. And so I sent them a message with a video, and I said, hey, I've had this grill for years, and I guess because it's sitting outside, I do have it over a covered area with a cover, but I guess just being in the elements of the moisture and whatnot, it's developed some rust on the doors. And, you know, is this common, or is this something that I should just sand and put some Rust-Oleum on, or is there a special paint I should use? And they sent me a message back and said, well, that should never happen. We're so sorry you got ones that rusted. We'll send you two new ones for free. And they sent me two new doors for free. I'm talking within a week, I had two new doors in my hand. I was like, well, that was cool. What a cool thing to do. They didn't have to do that. That's awesome. So then, you know, years go by again with me with problem-free grilling. One thing I noticed, though, is after I put my Wi-Fi board in, I was having trouble with the buttons on the front weren't turning it on and off anymore. I could only do it with my phone, which was kind of a pain in the butt, especially when you're done cooking and you're trying to maneuver bringing everything inside, and then you got to remember to grab your phone and do the login and then the thing off. And I was like, can I just push the button? I want to push the button, but it wouldn't let me push the button. So I was like, okay, whatever. It may be because it's hooked up to the Wi-Fi and it thinks that it's supposed to use that all the time. That's how I told myself it was going to work. And I thought, well, there's no issue as long as I just keep touching this button. So I went with that idea, touching the button, always doing that, making sure that it was on. And recently, I want to say July 4th weekend, it was brought up by some friends. Hey, why don't you bring the grill over here? Because, you know, our friends Dan and Lori have a pool. Why don't you bring the grill over here and we'll just, you know, grill the salmon over here on the planks and stuff. And I was like, yeah, it sounds like a great idea. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, I can't even turn the grill on. I wonder if it'll work with just the app, because I am on their Wi-Fi at the house. And I was like, well, we'll see what happens. Got it over there. Turns out I can't connect it because I can't turn it on with the button. There's a series of buttons you got to press in order to get the thing to search for a Wi-Fi signal. So with it off, you push the power button until it turns on and it'll say RDY, which means ready. And then you push the pause button for 3 seconds. And then it comes up with a thing saying BT for Bluetooth. So it's searching for a signal. And at that point, that's when you're supposed to hook it up to the Wi-Fi. Well, I couldn't do any of those because the buttons on the faceplate weren't working to do that. So, oh, well, I came home, brought it home, hooked it back up, and I thought, well, I'll just cook with it here. Next time people come over, I'll grill here and then bring it over, and that'll just be a thing. And got it plugged in here, and it wouldn't connect here. And I was like, oh, come on, really? So I reached out to Grilla Grills. Actually, I wrote them quite an email just saying, you know, hey, I like you guys. Let's see, what did I write originally? I got the email right here. Hang on. I don't see it. Anyway, I wrote them a letter saying, you know, I've really enjoyed your grill. I've been making YouTube videos about how much I love it. and how about how great your customer service has been to me. And I'm on the Facebook pages that share all the stuff every time I cook, and other people share information about what they cook. And I'm on there giving them suggestions and tips and videos that I've made to problem solve error codes and things of that nature. And I said, you know, and I've had this issue now with this board, and I'm a little upset about it. You know, I'm concerned about it. First of all, if I go onto your website, I don't see any way to purchase this board, to just purchase it. And I was hoping that maybe your customer service might help me figure out how to replace this board, because I'm being told on the Facebook group, I posed the question out there, and people are like, just reach out to the customer service and they'll probably help you. And I said, I'm just looking for a solution here. I know that you are probably thinking, yeah, you've had the grill for a long time. We don't warranty that something that old. Just go buy you a new one. And that's fine. You know, whatever. I get it. That's the way business works nowadays. But I was really hoping for something better. And I'm just curious if you offer anything better. So I sort of said it without saying it. I was hoping they would send me a new board free of charge or for a reduced price. I really expected them to come back and go, yeah, I'm sorry, but it's been, you know, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, however long it's been since you bought this grill. And fortunately, we can't honor the warranty on something that may have happened due to you doing blah, blah, blah. But if you'd like to purchase the new board, here's the link to that. You know, that's kind of what I expected. And instead, they wrote me back and said, your Facebook group is right on this one. Control board should be able to be used regardless of if you're connected or not connected. The button should always respond. And it says, we will send you a replacement right now, get you all fixed up. And I was like, what? And then I got another email from them. It showed Wi-Fi board ordered to Josh Peak. Price, $149. Charge, zero. I was like, what? For real? You guys sent me one for real, for free? I mean, I was hopeful that that would happen. I was hopeful that they would offer me one at a reduced price. But listen, again, customer service. Because they did that, I am excited about them again. I want to tell people about them. I want to be like, hey, guys, listen, you buy one of these and they take care of you. I mean, if there's a problem, they'll help you figure it out. So big shout out to Grilla Grills. I love your grills. I'm extremely happy with my ownership of one. And Lord knows I have cooked many, many, many a good meal here and fed tons of people from that grill. And because I love the company so much, and because I love the food that comes off of that grill so much, I continue to make videos about it and share it on social media and Instagram and TikTok and whatever. Whatever gets people to do the thing of word of mouth. I know in marketing, they talk about testimonial videos. Sometimes you can have a celebrity like Jeremy Renner who goes, hey, try Sweetgrass Vodka. And you're like, oh, Jeremy likes it. I might like it. That's why they have people like Jay-Z trying to sell you on Coke Zero, or, you know, some celebrity being like, come check out my product. And you're like, eh, okay. The Rock has a tequila. I bought a bottle because I was like, eh, I like The Rock. Lord knows he needs the money. I should buy a bottle of that instead of some brand I don't know, right? Whatever. It's a joke. Anyway, it's sort of a joke. I like The Rock. I've not tried the tequila yet, but I have a bottle that I gave to some friends. So, and I bought it because it was The Rock. Testimonial. He's a nice guy. Or at least I think he is. He looks like he is. Hey, Rock, if you're watching this, you want to do a podcast? We can talk about whatever you want. Personally, I want to talk about Star Wars and why you're not in it. Because I think you'd be great in Star Wars. They don't have to make you up as a Wookiee. They can make you up as a bounty hunter. Oh, you'd be a cool bounty hunter. Yeah. Yeah. That'd be awesome. I mean, you'd still be in kind of your stereotypical role of being the big muscly guy. Which, I mean, let's face it. You are the big muscly guy. That's part of the allure. But what if you're the big muscular guy that had like some sage wisdom? That'd be cool. Anyway. He's never going to watch this. yeah. All right. So that's it. I'm going to quit talking now. I feel like I've talked enough. I am watching something great. So this, I do want to share with you something that I enjoy, something that I think you'll enjoy. On Netflix, there's a show called Sweet Tooth. It came out a while ago. There's two seasons out. I just watched season one and I think it's great. I was not expecting to like it, but from the word jump, I like it. I like everything about it. It's wholesome-ish. It's sort of comic book-ish. I'm told this is part of the Warner Brothers buy-in to the superhero genre, but it's not really a superhero. It's anyway, the premise of the show, and I'll read you the tiny little sentence here that is the premise of the entire show. On a perilous adventure in a post-apocalyptic world, a boy who's half human and half deer searches for a new beginning with a gruff prospector. Now, with just that information, that's what I heard as the blurb on Netflix. I thought, nah, I'll pass. But I keep looking at it and I keep going, all right, maybe I'll watch it. It does have Will Forte in it. I like Will Forte. Isn't that who it is? When you click on cast, why doesn't it have him listed? It is Will Forte. Yeah. Yeah. The kid in this is great. Christian Convery plays Gus. He's great. He's a great actor. The big man, the prospector they talk about, Nonso Anozie, he is a big man. He's been on Game of Thrones. He's been on some series about Dracula. He was on a series called Zoo. He's been in this. I've seen him in Ted Lasso. He's great. He's great. He's 6'6". He's a big man. Great actor, though, more than anything. Anyway, I wasn't expecting to like this show. I thought, this show is going to be stupid, whatever, I'll just turn it on. And from the moment the show started, I was like, okay. The first episode is like 45 minutes long. And I felt like I watched a full movie. It was great. It was weird, the deer kid idea, but it all works. So anyway, I like to share things that I like to see if you guys like it and, you know, maybe give you ideas of things that you could check out if you wanted to. Yeah, so there's that. Also, let me throw this out there. Does anyone know how to twitch? I'm not saying like you're nervous and so you have this little thing with your eye. I mean like the app Twitch where you do the online gaming thing. I want to learn how to show what I'm doing on my Nintendo Switch with Legends of the Fall Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, whatever. Tears of the Kingdom, Zelda. I'm enjoying it. And I want to share what I'm doing on there. But I don't know how to use the interface yet. I'm learning. It's a lot to learn. Yeah. I guess that's the underlying tone of all of this podcast. It's a lot. Because it is a lot. So, anyway, take that a lot. Do with it what you will. Again, shout out to Jeremy Renner and the people of Sweetgrass Vodka and Victor Webster and Gorilla Grills. I know this seems like a commercial episode, and it kind of is. None of them are paying me anything. But I just wanted to give my testimonial of what I think because I'm one person and that's what you do. You promote the positive and then with one person, you share to two people and then those people hopefully share to other people. And somewhere along the way, we get to share the love and good things happen. So thanks for listening. Thanks for watching on YouTube. I appreciate it. If you haven't yet, please take a moment and rate, review, subscribe for the podcast. Share this with your friends. If you want to be on the podcast and talk about anything, I can talk about anything, weirdly enough. And yeah, we'll do this again. Take care now. And as always, cue the cow.
Cue the cow. Moo, baby.